Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hello again to yet another pregnancy story episode of Parenting with Sisu. I'm Rabea, and today I'm talking with Mareike, a mother of two boys who had two pregnancies with preeclampsia, also known as pregnancy poisoning. Hi Mareike, thank you so much for joining me today. We don't have the nicest of all topics today, but we want to inform and help other moms who go through a similar situation to find all the information they need and to feel comfortable to reach out for help. Nice that you're here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Mareike, for our listeners that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I came to Finland more than 7 years ago. And first due to my work, so I am a neuroscientist at university. But soon me and my husband loved it here, so we wanted to stay. Now, so I'm still working at university and my husband is doing an education in the medical sector. And like then we got two boys, so Aralas, who's born in 2015, and then Massi Nisa, born in 2018.
Yes, thank you very much. So today we are talking about your pregnancies, actually. You had preeclampsia with both of your kids, which is also known as pregnancy poisoning, a condition which is still not fully discovered and cannot really be prevented nor be treated as such. The symptoms are, amongst others, high blood pressure, protein in the urine, pain in the upper stomach, water in the extremities, headaches and nausea, and ultimately, it might lead to kidney failure and water in the lungs and other really serious issues for the mom. And besides the symptoms for the mom, the condition is also quite risky for the baby since it's often not perfectly supplied with what it needs to grow. And Mareike, remind me, with your first one, the preeclampsia was diagnosed rather towards the end and you could carry him until the due date, but with your second son, he was born premature due to the condition, right?
Yes, that's correct. So for my first pregnancy, I was not aware of preeclampsia at all. I had a very good and experienced nurse at Neuvola, and nevertheless, I didn't hear anything about preeclampsia somehow before. In the aftermath, there was one occasion where I was seeing a doctor some weeks before due date, and I had a high blood pressure, but she just thought I worked too much at this time point and recommended to relax. And then in my last Neuvola appointment, before the due date, my nurse said that my blood pressure is kind of high and there's a bit of protein in the urine, so she sent me to hospital. And they did then this 24 urine collection. And the morning of the due date, a doctor just told me, in your condition, we need to induce birth.
Okay.
And she even started the procedure, and only after the first steps, then kind of the nurse, not also the doctor, but the nurse kind of then told me, oh, so you didn't have any information, so maybe I give you something in English. And I was like, yeah, good idea.
Better late than never.
Yes. And then like further steps of the induce followed, and I gave birth to my son after 12 hours, like by a normal natural delivery. And he was only kind of born a bit small for a term born, so he was 2.7 kilo. Mm. But otherwise, he was fine. And then he also got this yellowness, but I guess this can happen to anyone.
Yeah. But the second one was a bit more serious then.
Yeah, so in my second pregnancy, I was then aware of the preeclampsia because it happened for the first. And so indeed, I was kind of very aware and also a bit scared. And unfortunately, also, I was one of the rather rare cases where the second pregnancy is worse than the first, or the preeclampsia is worse. So this time I got severe preeclampsia. And so also the pregnancy had then to be terminated with an emergency C-section in week 34.
Oh, yeah, that's quite early. But usually it's so that the first in the first pregnancy it shows a little bit more severe, and then the second one can be managed a little bit better.
Yes, normally this is the case. Mm. So, but for me it was the other way around, and then it's like likely that the preeclampsia is also severe, and there's a real risk for mother and child.
Mm.
And so luckily I was already in the hospital when it happened. I had somehow a gut feeling, and I was really not well the evening before, and then so I really had to insist as well to stay in the hospital. And I felt better in the morning, but suddenly then four doctors rushed into the room and they were just screaming at me, C-section now, because of, and I, like later I heard, because of the vital signs of my son, so like the heartbeat was well. So luckily at the moment I had a kind of this...
where they listened to the heartbeat.
Yes,
yeah,
of the
yeah.
baby, just on me. And I had barely time just to call my husband on the way on the operation room already. I called, like, the baby's coming now.
Yeah.
And so then, like, I just went to operation and my son was delivered on in this emergency situation.
That must have been scary.
Yeah, kind of. Like, on the other, I didn't have too much time to think about it. And but then, like, yeah. Also after birth, so like for me, like my son was then born with 1.6 kilo only, so quite small. And unfortunately, I got kind of a backlash. Or for me, the preeclampsia came actually after birth. Normally, it's always said as well that the birth would help it, or that this is one thing to do because there's no treatment, as you said before. But like I got another attack of the preeclampsia after giving birth and had to go under treatment and also get this magnesia, which is kind of also still kind of, I think, a severe situation. And because also this medication can be dangerous, so you have to be monitored because it can, there can be a stop of breathing for the mother, so.
Oh, okay. So what is the treatment during the pregnancy and after the pregnancy about? What can be done?
Not really. So it's kind of monitoring mainly. So, and this is kind of difficult to maybe kind of differentiate from wait and see, which is often a very Finnish practice. Like, so and then of course, if the blood pressure is really getting high, you get medication against the blood pressure. And then, but ultimately, like the only thing to do anything and not even to stop as it can go on is giving birth. So then like giving birth to the baby and a C-section and premature birth is the only thing that might help.
Yeah.
And then like the actual condition of preeclampsia can be treated with this magnesium sulfate. And this is to lose or to prevent cramps. And but it's also only a medication. So yeah, there's no healing or in that sense, you can just prevent symptoms.
No proper treatment. It's just that that some of the symptoms can be.
Yeah, and actually, treated. I already had cramps in the legs.
Oh.
I could kind of sense that. Luckily, it was not that bad because the cramps can also go to the neck and kind of squeeze the breathing, and it can go to even epileptic seizures or neurologic symptoms, and then seizures, and you could lose consciousness. And so, luckily, this did not happen to me.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister actually had it with the first one, and she also ended up having an emergency C-section in week 31 or 32, because she had water in her lungs, like one side completely full of water and the other one like half full, so she could barely breathe and still tried to somehow manage so that the baby could stay in for as long as possible, but yeah, it got really, really risky for her, so that in the end they got the baby, even though he was really small, but she was already for 1 week in the hospital, so she got, I think, two of these shots that for the baby's lung. Did you get any?
Yes, I guess two as well. So one in the evening when I was in the hospital, and I think like they waited for 12 or 16 hours, so it was just in time that I get the second one as well. And luckily, I have to say, also my son was quite well. He was very small, but otherwise, like he did never need any breathing aid, and also he started even breastfeeding quite soon. And just later, it turned out that he has epilepsy, but of course, we could not say for sure that it has to do with the preeclampsia. There's some reason, I believe, because like also as it's one sign that the blood supply for the baby with the placenta may not be optimal all the time. Of course, in a critical phase, it could be that there were something happening in his brain development.
Yeah, that's also the reason why they're often a little bit smaller for their week, that they don't get enough of what they need to grow during the pregnancy. Yeah, it sounds at least super scary to me when listening to it, and also when I followed it a little bit with my sister. But yeah, you said your baby was doing quite fine after that. How long did you have to stay in the hospital?
We both stayed around 3 weeks.
Only 3 weeks?
No. Yeah, so yeah, he could leave the hospital when he was over 2 kilo, I think, so that was the critical threshold. Yeah. And also my blood pressure was still high for several weeks, like, so I stayed in the same time, so we could actually leave together.
Okay.
And like it was for around 3 weeks together, and like I continued the blood pressure medication for some more weeks, because also you can't stop it right away, you have to kind of get it down slowly.
Yeah. And you said you could breastfeed. Was he in the intensive care or was he all the time with you?
No, he was in intensive care and in the preterm station like for the 3 weeks, basically. But I could go there and then take care of him. So first also I had really to rest. So the first week I needed to take care of myself as well.
Mm.
But then afterwards I could So first week I just went down for half an hour to feed him and then go back up, and also not during the nights as I needed to sleep during the night. But then like I could take care of him, and in the last days I was even staying in the children's ward. So I had my bed there and could stay with him in the room.
Yeah. And did they feed him formula or did you pump and they fed him the breast milk?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did pump,
yeah.
Which was also quite exhausting with still being in the preeclampsia condition, but it worked out well. So, and then they have these donators breast milk as well.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I think he did not get a lot of formula at all, but afterwards when we were home he anyway needed to have, because he needed to have some additional nutrition which could only be mixed in the bottles.
No. Yeah, good to know that there's at least something in place to feed them also breast milk, even when they're in the NEO. But one question I still had, how were you in the end diagnosed? You said with the first one, it came out really late and it wasn't really diagnosed before. But with the second one, you probably knew about it and you asked about it. So how did they react?
Yes, exactly. So as I said, for the first one, like it was only after birth was actually induced, and also there was nobody telling me anything still after, so until giving birth and even after birth, so it was not even discussed a lot, except this only comment from the very first doctor saying, like, with your situation, we just induced birth. But not even she told about preeclampsia. But then, like, I somehow learned it by myself afterwards. And so for the second pregnancy, I was very aware from the beginning, and I was, like, really strict in looking after it. So I was telling to the nurse all the time that this has happened the first pregnancy and that it's then likely that it could at least be in the second. And so from the very beginning also I had the own blood pressure meter at home, and I was monitoring my own blood pressure on a more or less daily basis. So because the issue is with preeclampsia that it starts in the very early weeks of pregnancy, but the effects are only seen after several months, so at least after the 20th weeks, and it can go to the 6th month until you actually really notice, and then it's too late because then you're kind of suffering from it, and then there's not much to do anymore. So I have to say that it was pretty much on me. So I was like telling the nurses about it, and I was concerned about it. And the strategy was normally always like kind of this wait and see, and we are not sure that it has to be happening and so on. But from the beginning, I had a feeling as well. So I think the blood pressure you can't really feel, but anyway, like I had a lot of nausea as well. So now I've heard that this could be related, but of course it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, well, it happens also in other pregnancies.
Yes, exactly.
At least, yeah. That's, I think, also something that makes it difficult to diagnose, because, yeah, so many of those things are, they can just feel like uncomfortable pregnancy-related symptoms. I remember that I was pregnant at the same time with my sister, that when it happened to her, actually, my daughter was already born. And I didn't really know anything about it. I knew that in Neovola they measured the blood pressure and I had to be in a bottle every time, but didn't really know what was that about. But I had really bad pain in my upper stomach because my daughter was apparently always kicking there, and I had kind of like a bruise in that place. And I remember that in Neovola they were quite aware of that, and they said that it would need to be followed, and I had an extra appointment to check blood pressure and the urine, And in the second pregnancy, of course, after I knew that my sister had this issue, that I was also more aware of it. And in Neuvola, I felt they took it quite seriously. In Iso-Omena, you need to measure your blood pressure anyway on your own. So they asked me to come every day for a week to follow my blood pressure there and to see if it actually rises, because it was on a little bit critical high level. But I think, yeah, for me, it was really just stress because I didn't have really any other symptoms. But many of the symptoms can just feel like uncomfortable pregnancy symptoms. And when there's no one who puts all that together in a big picture, it's difficult to diagnose it, actually. Probably also really much depends on your Neuvola and on the nurses and
yes,
how much.
Yes, I wanted to say that as well. Like for my first pregnancy, we had a very experienced nurse and she was exactly right to send me to the hospital the day before birth. The second one, like she was not very sure. It was a lot of these like wait and see, which I see is the strategy also if the blood pressure is not high. But for example, also it was set up and up. So first they said like when it's over 80-120, like you call and you see what's happening. Then they were when it's over 130, then it went when it's over 140, and it just felt a bit like, so I felt anyway like left alone, so that it's also a lot on me, and always like this wait and see. So okay, now your blood pressure is 130, that's kind of concerning, but just stay at home and wait. And like there's this paradox for preeclampsia that it's important or like that it's helpful to keep calm because for the blood pressure and everything, but if you worry a lot about the situation, your baby and yourself, it's kind of quite difficult to really stay calm in a way and just try to get the blood pressure down by relaxing as I was recommended. And so I felt left alone, especially with the mental aspect. So I was never heard about or like at this point that like I felt like, yeah, how can I be calm if I'm worried, because my blood pressure was really kind of quite high. So it was clear, I would say from week 20 for me at least, that it wouldn't end up, and of course I didn't know how dramatic it may go in the end, but that I would have like an a bit exceptional condition was already clear from kind of the middle of the pregnancy at least, I would say.
Yeah, so there was no psychologist visit or anything?
Never,
like that.
I never heard about it. So rather it was like, I rather heard like this pregnancy is not a sickness, which is true for normal pregnancy without complication. But as we then have seen for me, actually it was, because like my baby was really small and I was also in this heavy treatment before and after birth. So actually it was kind of, it was at least, yes.
And weird, because you had it with the first one. I mean, you could imagine that at least with the second one that they would take it somehow serious. But
yeah, unfortunately, like I rather felt also after if I would be overly reacting a bit, like, and if just this, like, just keep calm, where I'm like, yes, but my blood pressure is high, and like, so it's difficult for me to stay calm. In the end, also, so I went to hospital because I really felt bad and I insisted to stay. And also, there they left me alone for quite some time. So I was with my husband, luckily, but like, I didn't see a nurse or doctor for 2 hours. I was just laying around there in the hospital because then again, my measures were not that bad. So I think in Finland also there's this thing that they're really looking into the numbers. So if the blood pressure is 129, it's not 130, so it's not yet critical. And so then only they came back when I started to have the cramps in the legs, and I didn't know what it was. I was just like, there's something going on, which is strange. And then they were like giving me these also these injections for the lung development quite right away.
Oh.
And they were telling me that probably a preterm birth would be very likely. So it's changed very quickly from not be taken seriously to kind of urgent or dramatic. So, yeah. But what's like one thing which was really good that I had a visit of nurses, I guess, as well in the hospital, who really told me about the preterm birth and like the consequences of that, and also really the mental effects. So there, I it was one moment where I really felt that they're trying to care for this mental load of having a birth earlier than you would have expected preterm, and that it doesn't need to mean anything bad for the baby, that he could be healthy as anybody, and also for me. So kind of a C-section is not anything to be too concerned about. So this was a good moment that they had this information about preterm birth.
Yeah. But you didn't get, since nowadays there is this medication that you can get when the first pregnancy was already with preeclampsia, but that wasn't available yet.
Yes, exactly, unfortunately. So I heard about it very few after birth, and also that I would be definitely be a candidate for that, seeing my history. But it was not yet approved, I think, on the market in early 2018 or end of 2017, and it only came soon after. So now there is this aspirin therapy that you can take from the very beginning, also kind of in order to prevent the preeclampsia. So you just started very early in the pregnancy, and then it might prevent a lot. So I've heard until 80% of the cases.
Yeah, I remember my sister went to the doctor really early because she wanted to have the pregnancy confirmed so that she could start that treatment. And for her, at least, the second pregnancy went quite fine and even over the due date with the very normal healthy baby. So...
Yeah, the only thing I had kind of an additional ultrasound when the preeclampsia was kind of confirmed. But unfortunately, also for me as the mother, this was not very reassuring because also the doctor didn't tell me too much. So I think she looked into the veins of the head of the baby, but she was really concerned only and only said that to me, that she has seen something and that she's concerned about, which again did not really help this keeping calm situation at all.
Yeah.
So... But at least, so this was checked.
What did they do after that? When she was
nothing. No. See, she just said that she actually saw some condition with the baby. So I guess it was confirmation of that something, that also the blood supply is not optimal or anything. Mm. But again, like normally nothing can be done for either me or the baby. And this was quite early. Maybe it was week 28.
Mm.
So at this point, and it was not kind of really dangerous. So then... no consequence in the end, because I think the only thing would be to kind of end the pregnancy, use it somehow. And then at this point, it was not yet so serious for either me or the baby. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you take any extra support from the private side, or did you go completely public?
Completely public. I didn't think too much about it because actually with the preeclampsia, at least as the aspirin therapy was not yet there, there's not much to do. So because it's always this wait and see, and if the values go above some limit, then like there's some indication for action. But also then like again, like the only thing is giving birth. So in that sense, I think like private couldn't have helped me a lot, except maybe the mental aspect. But I was never recommended or kind of even for this mental or my condition in a way too.
Yeah, we talked about already a little bit what was handled well in your opinion and where you felt misunderstood. You said that, well, the information that you received for preterm babies was good, but a lot before that where you felt left alone. Was there anything else that mentioned in this aspect?
So I thought that there could be much more information in general. So for any mother, I understand that they may not want to scare mothers because it's still rare and not everyone, but just that you know about also the signs. As you said, that you had this belly pain. So at least in my first pregnancy, I didn't hear much about it. So I was not, of course, they did also this urine test, but also they weren't telling me too much like what it's for and like what is critical value or normal value or anything. They were just like doing this on this kind of routine level and the blood pressure as well. So I think like there could be just more information about it in general. And so then for pregnant women, I would just recommend that they would also really trust their feelings. So I think as the mother, you may have a feeling that something is going wrong or not exactly right, and you can measure the blood pressure. This blood pressure meter is also not that expensive, but it could give you some calm, because then you can measure yourself and you see it's rather okay. Or if it's not okay, then you could at least act. You could try to call to the kind of hospital emergency system and ask about it. So they had then also this recommendation, should I go to hospital or not? And then like... yeah, I guess you have to fight a little bit for yourself. So insist that you are taken serious. So if you see that your blood pressure is, for example, as you said, at the limit, then try to keep it monitored. And if in addition you feel something, then really insist that it would be checked, that you would be treated, and not this kind of wait and see if it gets even worse kind of strategy. Because also for preeclampsia, it can turn really bad in few
fast,
hours. Yes. So in that sense, like I said, like I went to the hospital myself, and I also said, like, I don't go from here until you either really assured me that everything is okay, or you do some treatment
So it's a bit of the self-service, like in many places in Finland, in the healthcare, also, that you need to be a little bit aware of the condition yourself and how this shows, what the symptoms are, and monitor yourself a little bit. And when you feel like that there might be something wrong, that you mention it and really insist that it's monitored.
Yes, exactly. And then also now, especially after the second pregnancy, like I would be probably more aware to take care of my mental health. So when I really feel these issues, because it's this insecurity which is really difficult, because it was not exactly clear that this is really bad and I have to go to hospital, but it's kind of like higher than normal. But and then it's like wait and see and try to relax, and maybe now I would seek myself. Then also you have to see, as I was never suggested anything, and I also thought about the husbands, because maybe the husband and fathers are also worried about their wife and their baby at the same time.
Most so likely,
they need probably some support as well, because and it could end bad, like so in the worst case it would be dangerous for both of them as well. And the only other thing I thought also, because I was never sure how serious or even dramatic it was, so I was wondering when I had this backlash, for example, after birth, and I was asking like, if this magnesia doesn't help, do you have anything else? And they were like, we have many things to do. And I'm a scientist myself and I studied biology, so I could kind of get a bit more information. And then they were like, yeah, don't worry. And like, I was never sure, like I would prefer it, but maybe this is individual to me, that I would like to know it as much as possible. So I would rather also be, this is a serious situation, or they would kind of tell me what's going on, because like for me this insecurity is rather worrying me more than if somebody tells me that this is now serious for you, this is now serious for the baby.
And these are the like, steps that we will follow, this is what we can do and what we will do.
Because I had the impression they played it down at some point, maybe to protect me in order to keep me calm, but for me like it's this at least was not that helpful, because rather I worried even more than if they would tell me like exactly this is the steps that we are taking. And
So also there, probably when you feel like this is how you feel, that you need to say this really straight, that okay, I want all the information possible, because otherwise I'm just gonna worry even more. But we mentioned this in many episodes before, that saying out loud and standing up for yourself is quite needed in the Finnish public healthcare system.
Yes, exactly my experience there as well. And really, even here, and it's a bit unfortunate, because normally in this situation you don't feel that well already. So you either are sick or you have pain or worry in some way. So in that sense, you even still have to fight, but like especially with the preeclampsia, it can be really be quickly dangerous for mother and child. So of course, like if you have a feeling, just keep going and insist that they help you.
And what's the outlook for the future, like how possible it is that after a pregnancy like that you can still get pregnant again, and what would be the likely outcome of it?
Actually, unfortunately, not that good. So if it is, as in my case, that the second pregnancy is worse than the first, like it will be quite likely, very sure that like it would happen for a third. So as I said, I couldn't get like this aspirin therapy, which is now available. So this may help, but I also asked a doctor and she said this is not kind of a wonder cure, of course. And still with doing this, like it's not sure that the preeclampsia will be prevented in any case, or it can be still quite worse. And so as my situation with the second one was really quite bad already, so they said that it would be likely that it would start even earlier, and the baby has to come even earlier. So for, like earlier than week 34. And of course, like this means a lot of risk for me and especially the baby, because like be born before week 30 is really, of course, like affecting the baby a lot as well. But also there, I wanted to ask about it, and I would have preferred to have very clear kind of answer, like kind of there is a higher risk. They would not say you should not get pregnant. They were always saying like we can't kind of recommend not to get pregnant, or we could kind of not forbid it to you. But for me, actually, this would have helped my decision a little bit, just to know that the risk is really kind of quite high, and this would be kind of a dangerous situation. At some point, I met a doctor, and she said also women are still dying from preeclampsia, also in Finland, and it's important. You have already two children, two boys, that you keep healthy for them, and that it's probably a good decision not to get pregnant, because there would be a considerable risk for me and the baby. So also, like, I made my decision that I would probably not try, because it would be a really worrisome pregnancy, and like a kind of complication, or even if the baby would be stillborn or die during the process, would be kind of very hard for me. So I kind of agree to this point that I could be happy to have two little boys which are healthy. And
yeah, the mental aspect, this was also something that my sister said, that since her second pregnancy went really fine due to all the help she got, and the first one was the worst one, and then they always told her that the second one could just be fine. So they went for the second one and it went fine. But she said that this worry throughout these 40, 41 weeks she had was just so straining that she would not go for it again.
Imagine how long 9 months can be, because it's really a long time to be constantly worried.
Yeah. So we learned a lot today. Thank you everyone for listening, and thank you especially Mareike for taking the time to join me today. In the meantime, check out our website for more details and resources at parentingwithsisu.com. If you have any wishes for topics to be covered, or you want to join us as a guest, don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can find us through our website and on Facebook and Instagram at Parenting with Sisu. Thank you, Mareike.
Thank you. Bye.
Have a great week. Until next time.